We're learning Tanya, Geres HaKodesh, page Kuf Tes Zayin, which with the English numbering, it's page 231, numbering at the top of the page. And we're starting chapter Yud Aleph 11, Askil Chobina. And the subject of this chapter is discussing the concept of Yisurim. Yisurim meaning suffering, and what our attitude to suffering should be. Okay, so we'll dive straight in. Laskil Chabina, to give you to understand. Laskil Chabina, from the word Seichel, to give you the Seichel to understand. Ki loy zoy hadeach yishkoin or Hashem liyas chofetz b'chai b'sorim b'bonim zoynim. This is not the way to that the light of God should dwell with us when we are expressing our desire only for material or the life of the body, so to speak, with children and parnosa, livelihood, in other words, all the material parts of our existence, and that's our main focus. That is not the way to achieve that God should wish to dwell with us. Ki al ze omer azal batel rutzoincha. Kedei shehu batel rutzoincha lifnei rutzoinoi. Kedei shehu yivatel rutzoinoi lifnei rutzoinecha. That's the full quote from Pirkei Avos, which is, the rabbis say in Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers, that you should make your will subordinate to God's will, in order that God should subordinate his will to yours. So in other words, it's basically saying, God is saying to us, you do what I want you to do, and I'll do what you want me to do. So what are we achieving with that? So we're saying that our will should be totally nullified. It shouldn't even exist in its own right. And therefore, if we are going to totally subordinate our will to God's will, God's will, of course, covers mainly our spiritual life, therefore we should not be personally interested in all these worldly matters, which are included in the three titles of Boni, which means children, Chayi, which means life and health, and Mezaini, which means literally food and a livelihood. Those are the general three things that we all desire. The rest of it is mere commentary. Ukamayim razal shal kocha hatachai. And like the rabbis say, we should get to the level where you are forced to live, meaning that it says that we're brought into being, we're born, it's not by our own choice. So therefore, once we're here, we have to subordinate our will to God's will. Now, of course, one has to add here that to say that boni chayim azayni, children, life and health and parnosa, are only material interests, and just our being interested in them is selfish, that is an oversimplification, because we obviously know that these things also include spiritual aspects. So when it comes to children, for example, if our desire is just to have children for the sake of procreation, and we'll bring them up to be doctors, dentists, solicitors and accountants, so fine, okay, that's a selfish approach. But if we want children because the Torah tells us to have children, and we bring them up to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and help other Jews and generally be an asset to this world, then that is no longer just a material desire. It's also a spiritual desire. The same thing with life and health. All of these things could be just you know, if somebody lives to go to the gym and get themselves, you know, in prime fitness and follow all the sports, that is a personal interest. So we're not bringing God into that at all. But a person who has a feeling that he wants to be healthy and strong and live a long life because that involves serving Hashem. And as the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, that if a person is not in a good, healthy state, that disables them from serving God properly.
Yeah.
So we desire our health in order to serve God. Then that again transforms the material into a spiritual. And finally, when it comes to parnasa, a livelihood, some people have the attitude of, I want to make the fastest buck and the biggest buck of all, and, you know, get rich quick, and I want to be a millionaire, and be, nowadays it's a billionaire, a millionaire is nothing. And you do get people that live for this without thinking deeper into why they want the money. But a Jew who wants his parnasa, his money, his income, his livelihood, and he thinks himself, why do I need this? I don't need to be a millionaire. I need to be comfortable, that I should be able to build a home and have a family and educate my children in the proper way. And why? Because I want them to be good Jews and they should learn Torah and support yeshivas and give tzedakah and help other people. Then that transforms the material desire for wealth into a spiritual achievement. So when the Alter Rebbe is here talking about having only a desire for life of the flesh and children and parnosa, he's not talking about the spiritual aspects. He's talking about somebody that only has the very shallow aims without bringing anything spiritual into it. But of course, we can inject it all with spiritual content, and then it becomes part of serving God. Okay, so let's remember that we're talking about those that only want the material. So then he says that that is not a way to bring God into your life. Well, be a Indian to explain this. Who rak amunamitis biyotze bereshis dahainu shabriya yeshmiyana nikareshis chokma vihi chokmasa she'enu museges lushum nivra habriya azois hi b'choleis v'rega shemisavim kolabruim yeshmiyai mechokmasa yisparach hamechayas hakar. So the explanation is that we have a true faith in the Creator, that the creation is creation of something ex nihilo, something from nothing. And it comes from a concept of nothingness, which is really referring to Chochma, which is divine wisdom, which is also called Ayin, which means nothingness. And the reason is because Chochma is itself, the word chokhmah means karach ma, it's a power we know not what. It's a flash of inspiration, and we don't know where it comes from. So it's got the title ayin, and therefore the world was created yesh mi ayin, it's through chokhmah. But nevertheless, it doesn't move away from its meaning that this whole world with all its complexity has come from a level which we call nothingness, which means from emanating from God himself. And it's a wisdom which can't be grasped. And this creation is happening at every single moment. Every single moment, creation is being brought into being, yesh mi'ayin, from wisdom, God, the divine wisdom, hamachaya sakoil, and we're over the page now, and when a person will think deeply, and he would imagine in his mind this creation, every single moment of the world from nothing, how could it ever enter a person's mind when he's thinking about the fact that the whole world is coming into existence, like pulsating into existence every single moment, anew and afresh? So how can I, for a moment, entertain a feeling that something's going bad for me, or I've got some troubles, maybe something's bothering me in my life, my livelihood, or any other troubles that come upon a person in the world? How can I possibly even consider them as being any mitzvahs, any existence at all? Hari ha'ayin shi chachmas yisbarach u'makarach hayim v'hatoy v'aynik. That thing which is called Ayin, which means nothingness, but that is the title, which refers to God's wisdom. The wisdom of God, blessed be He, is the source of life and good and pleasure. And this refers to a level, a very high level which the Talmud talks about, which is a level which can't even be grasped by a created being, and that's called Eden, as in the expression Gan Eden. But the rabbis of the Talmud explain that you have a concept of Gan on the one hand, which means the garden, and Eden as well, which is a separate thing. But Eden is a level which the Talmud says, Ayin L'Rosa Zayz. That no human or no created being can even see this level, only God Himself. So it's a very high level, and he's even higher than Olam Haba. Rat Nipnesh Einu Musag L'Chein Nidmalay Ra Yisurim. So if a person has this in mind all the time, that the world is being created every single moment afresh, how can he possibly think that something's going bad? So why does he think it is bad? Because he doesn't realize what is the reality of this so-called bad or this so-called suffering. But the truth is, Avo be'emes, ein ra yorid milmaila. The truth is that no bad comes from above at all. God is only the source of goodness. The Hakol Tov, and everything's really good. Rag she'ena musig l'goydlo. But the goodness of it is not realized, is not grasped. Because it's so greatly good, we can't grasp it. V'rav tuvay, and its greatness and its goodness. V'zeo ikar emunah shebishvila nivra adam, and this is the main faith for which man has been created. Laham in deles asar panamine. First of all, to believe that there is no place in the whole of existence devoid of God Himself. Uba'ar p'nei melechayim, and in the light of the face of the King, that's referring to God, there is life. So only goodness is there. Va'al kein ayiz v'chedva min kaima, and therefore there is strength and joy in His place. Hayil v'hu rak tov kol hayom, because God is only good all day, meaning He only gives us good all day. Therefore, the first thing is the person should always be happy at all moments. And he should live with his faith in God, who's giving him life and doing good to him at every single moment. So the thought process for this person who's got this tremendous, powerful faith is, what can be bad? It's all good. I'm with Hashem. Hashem is creating me and the whole world every single moment. He only emanates good. So what the situation that I see now, it must be good. Why don't I see the goodness of it? Because I can't plumb the depths. I can't grasp it. It's so good that it encloses itself in a external form of looking bad. But it's not really bad, it's really good.
He's blind to it.
Well, he's not blind to it, no. He's I would say on the contrary, he's not blind to it. He's saying it's really good. It's not bad at all. It's not I'm blind to the badness. I am saying, and he is saying, that it's really good. Why don't I see that goodness? Because the depth of the goodness is so great, I can't fathom it. I mean, there are examples you can choose to explain this. Like we've chosen this example before about, you know, the Lockerbie disaster.
Yeah.
You know, someone's racing to Heathrow to get this plane. And this actually happened in practice.
Yeah. With his whole family. From Stamford Hill, excuse me.
And all along the way there were delays. There was bad traffic, and then he had a puncture. And the taxi driver went the wrong way. A whole list of things to delay and delay and delay. Of course, the head of the family was going mad. We're going to miss this plane. This is terrible. And he was telling the taxi driver, I won't pay you if you don't get me there in time. You know. Of course, the taxi driver wasn't his fault, but the mice said they weren't getting there. And in the end, they got to the airport very late, and they weren't allowed on the plane. Half an hour later, he's jumping for joy. because he wasn't on the plane. Of course, we're setting aside for the moment all the other suffering of all the other people on the plane. That's a separate question. Let's just analyze this man and this family and this situation as far as he himself is concerned. What he thought was a terrible thing, he was going to lose his tickets. If you're late to your plane, they're non-transferable and non-returnable, and you lose your money, and he was going to a family simcha, going to a wedding, and he couldn't be late, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So as far as he's concerned, if I'm late for this plane, this is terrible. I'm going to lose £2,000 in fares for all my family. Mm. I'm not going to make my brother's wedding. It's terrible. Well, you know. And then half an hour later, he's jumping for joy. So is it bad or is it good?
Well, goodness only comes from evil. You go at the bad first, then there comes the goodness.
Well, that's another thing. That's having accepted that really something bad is not bad at all, it's really good. We can then start talking about why are there situations that look bad, which are followed by situations that look good. So that's what you're saying. But he's going one stage before that, and he's saying the situation that looks bad isn't even bad. It's not bad at all, it's really good. And that example of the Pan Am Lockerbie plane is an example, because until the moment when the news came through, for that man, it was bad. But deeper, on a deeper level, with hindsight, it was really very good. As I say, we can't bring in the rest of the people on the plane, because then we'll have a different analysis. Yeah. But let's just keep it, confine it to this one man.
There's a similar story was told by, I think it was either Diane Getty or Diane Abrahams in Shaw, when a member of his congregation was in Israel, and they were going to go to a pizza parlor after Pesach, and their hire car broke down, and this pizza parlor got bombed, and because the car broke down, he missed the bombing.
Similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the principle. So, therefore, when we think into this, we realize that nothing's bad and everything's good and we should be very happy. So, therefore, and someone that is sad and complains, and he shows that he's got some bad experience and he has some troubles. And he's missing some good. So therefore he becomes like a denier of faith, because the faith in God demands that we have to realize that everything is really good. And therefore the wise men of truth indicated that we should push away feelings of depression and sadness absolutely. And the reasoning behind it is, as he said, that when you realize that God is recreating the world every single moment, and it's from God only comes happiness and joy and goodness, then how can we even think for a moment that he's now producing something negative? But the one that believes won't be upset from any troubles in the world. And in every matter in this world, to him it's no difference whether it's yes or no, and it's absolutely the same. And if someone thinks it's not the same, he's showing that his spiritual origins are of the Eir of Rav, which is the mixed multitude of converts that came from Egypt with the Jews when they came out of Egypt, which means it's a non-Jewish approach. Even though technically speaking they may be Jewish, but they still have an influence from their origins. Because they do things for their own sake, themselves. And he loves himself, and he wants to exit from under the hand of God. And he wants to live like a life like a non-Jew because of his self-love. In other words, he's only interested in his own pleasure. And that's why he wants the physical life with children and livelihood in ample measure. For such a person, it's better if he wasn't created. He's got the wrong attitude. Because the main reason for creation of a person in this world is to test him with such tests. In other words, to see whether he's involved in the world for his own sake or for God's sake. And to know that which is in his heart, whether he will turn his heart after gods of others, which are the desires of the body, which come forth from the other side, meaning the negative powers. And that's what he really wants. Does he rather want to live a true life which comes from the living God, af she'enai yachol, or like a different version, I im cheftzai v'rtzayna af she'enai yachol lichis chayamitim, or does he really want to live a true life, even though he might not be able to achieve it? V'yamin she'be'emes hu chai b'hem, we're over the page now, and he should believe truly that he is living through them, v'chol tzrocha, v'chol inyona, mishtal shem emes, v'prati prati yaseim, shalai misitacha, and he should know that all his needs and all his matters come truly, with all their details, not from the other side, the negative forces, because it's from God that the steps of men are planned, v'ein mila, and there is no word which is uttered without God's directive. So therefore everything is really good, absolutely. But it's not understood when we see things looking bad. And with that faith, when we have trach good, that zayin good, when you think good, it'll be good. And with that faith, it actually changes it that it should look good. Even in a revealed way. Because with this faith that he believes that the bad that he thinks is bad, it really is a good that comes from a very high level, which is God's wisdom, blessed be he, which is not understood. As we said before, this is the level of Aden, which literally means pleasure, coming from a level higher than Adam Abar, Haria Be'emuna Zay Nichol Misala Be'emes Hara Hamaduma B'Tayv Ha'ayin HaGanas. With that faith, the bad, which he thinks is bad, will become absorbed into the true good from this very high level, which has hitherto been concealed, but the bad will become absorbed in it, and the situation will be changed over to a situation of revealed good.